dance.
Ife ti re ni ki a se.
Is anybody like that here?
Yari eni be ni.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear.
Boko so no guru.
That every one of you from now on you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Who is the one fellow that you will stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
Oh,
God and bless his holy name. Let's give him glory, let's give him honor, let's give him adoration. Bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised, he's worthy to be adored, he's worthy to be magnified. Praise him. Lift him high. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. That he has brought us thus far, let's praise his holy name. Magnify his holy name. As we begin our new church year, let us praise him. Let's magnify his holy name. Let's bless him for what he did last month. Let's bless him for what he did in the past church year. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Tonight, we want to talk about a glorious generation. Luke chapter 1, from verse 13 to 17. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 13 to 17. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. God will hear the prayer of somebody today. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. I'm sure that is me. I read that again. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. A glorious generation. What is the meaning of glory? The word glory is difficult to define. Except you define it by finding out what it is not. So we turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 35, Proverbs 3:35, where the Bible says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Since fools happen to be the opposite of the wise, then shame is the opposite of glory. That's why I'm believing God for every one of you here tonight. Anything called shame shall become a stranger to you. Glory is the opposite of shame. The ingredients of shame, those things that combine one way or the other to produce shame, could be bondage, curses, reproach, failure, defeat, and so on and so forth. And so the ingredients of glory, therefore, will be things like anointing, blessings, honor, success, victory, etc., etc. All these are ingredients of glory. Now, when you go through the scriptures, you find a certain generation. When we talk about a generation, we're talking about a group of people having the same characteristics. Go through the scriptures, you find a generation of shameful children. Children like Cain, the original murderer. Children like Esau, who sold his birthright just for a plate of food. Children like Gehazi, who had an opportunity to become the most powerful prophet in history, but decided to exchange that for a little bit of money. Of course, children like Judas Iscariot, who for 30 pieces of silver betrayed his Lord. They form a generation. They belong to one group. And that's why you don't find people naming their children Cain or Esau or Gehazi, who happens to be the father of all lepers, or Judas Iscariot. People don't like those names. And when you go through the scriptures, you also find another generation, a glorious generation. And you begin to hear names like Isaac, Joseph, Samson, Samuel, John. And you find, if you mention those names, if I just say, is there anybody here who is Isaac? You will see many hands. Anyone here who is John? You see many hands. Why? Because these are a glorious generation. Now these children who are in the glorious generation section have certain characteristics in common. They are all anointed. They are all blessed. They are all successful. They are all vessels unto honor in the hands of God. They are all victorious. But they also have one thing in common. All of them were born by parents who had to wait. Their parents were originally considered barren. Before God opened their wombs, and out came this glorious generation. So I have good news for those of you who are here tonight, trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Out of your womb will come a glorious generation. Let me take some of the characteristics so that you will know what to expect. The children that are going to be born to you, they are not going to be ordinary children. They're going to be special. They're going to be a glorious generation. Every child in the glorious generation group is anointed. Take Joseph. When you read Genesis 37, verse 5 to 11, Genesis 37, verse 5 to 11, you find that even when he was young, he was already receiving divine revelations, fantastic dreams of greatness that is almost beyond human comprehension. But by the time you get to Genesis chapter 40, from verse 5 to 22, Genesis 40, verse 5 to 22, you discover that he wasn't just receiving revelations for himself, he could even interpret the dreams of others. And by the time you get to Genesis 41, verse 25 to 38, Genesis 41, from verse 25 to 38, even Pharaoh, an idol-worshipping king, said, "Can we find a man like this, in whom there is the spirit of the Holy God?" Joseph was anointed. Oh, we could take Samson as another example. Judges chapter 13, verse 2 to 5. Judges 13, 2 to 5 tells us that he will even be anointed from the mother's womb. That before he was born at all, the anointing of God will already be upon him. He was so anointed that when lions came his way, he tore it into two. In Judges 15, verse 14 to 16, Judges 15, verse 14 to 16, when the enemies came trying to destroy him, the anointing on him was so mighty that he was able to destroy 1,000 of them. Or shall we talk about Samuel? See, talking about anointed children. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, we found that not only was Samuel anointed, he was so anointed that he could anoint a king. Anyone he poured oil upon became a king. In fact, he was so anointed that his dress carried tremendous power. 1 Samuel 15, verse 25 to 29. 1 Samuel 15, verse 25 to 29. He turned to go, and the king took his dress, and the dress tore. And he said, "Because you tore my dress, your kingdom is torn away from you." That's the kind of anointing. So the kind of children that you are to expect from this meeting tonight will be highly anointed children. The children in the glorious generation are blessed children. Take Joseph, for example. In Genesis 39, verse 2 to 3, Genesis 39, verse 2 to 3, the Bible tells us that whatever he touched prospered. Whatever he touched prospered. He was so blessed that when he came into a house, blessing came to that house. I want to prophesy to those of you who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. The baby you are going to bring forth less than 1 year from now will bring tremendous blessing to your family.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, kilometer 46 Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn. There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. You're watching Redemption Way.
In Genesis 22, verse 15 to 18, Genesis 22, verse 15 to 18, God said, I swear. Concerning you, Abraham, he said, I will bless you. He said, but concerning Isaac, I will multiply him. That's the only place in the scripture you find the Almighty God say, I swear that I will bless. In other words, he said, this blessing will never be reversed. The children that will come out of tonight's session will be irreversibly blessed in Jesus' name. Now, these children in the glorious generation. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, there is a woman here tonight. He said, I have spoken to your womb, and it will obey me. The children in this generation are vessels unto honor in the hand of God. Not a single one of these children in the glorious generation was a useless child. You know, there are people who come into this world, they come, they eat, they go to work, they die, and that's all. After they are gone, nobody remembers them. And some people come into the world and they change the world for the better. Every child that will be born as a result of tonight's meeting will be a world changer in Jesus' name. Take Joseph, for example, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 to 20. Genesis 50, verse 19 to 20. He said, God used me to preserve the world. At a time when the world, as at that time, would have perished, God raised up a young man called Joseph, who brought preservation to a whole group of people, his whole family, as well as the known world. What about Samuel? In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, the Bible said, because of Samuel, God began to appear again in Shiloh. There was restoration of the presence of God. There was revival. I am prophesying tonight that among the children that will be born as a result of tonight's gathering, we be world evangelists in Jesus' name. What about John the Baptist? In John chapter 1, verse 19 to 23, John chapter 1, verse 19 to 23, he described himself as a voice in the wilderness, calling on people to prepare the way of the Lord and to make his way straight. A voice. I'm believing God for all of you who are here today, that out of your womb will come boys and girls that will be a voice to the whole world. All the children in the glorious generation were successful. Not a single failure among them. Isaac, in Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14, Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14, was so successful, he became the envy of a whole nation. A whole nation envied him. Joseph, Genesis 41, verse 39 to 44, Genesis 41, 39 to 44, became the prime minister of Egypt, Pharaoh said, "Behold, I am Pharaoh." He said, "Only in the throne will I be greater than you." He said, "Apart from that, nobody will be able to do anything without your permission." That is success. What about John the Baptist? Matthew 11, verse 11. Now, so in Matthew 11, verse 11, we find that John the Baptist, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to assure all of you who are here tonight. He said, none of the children conceived this month will be retarded. In Matthew 11, verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ himself testified concerning John the Baptist and said, of all the children born of a woman in the Old Testament, he said there had never been anyone greater than John the Baptist. I decree to all of you who are here tonight that your children will be great. They will be greater than you. They'll be number one among their own generations. But then there is a section of these children born, this glorious generation, and that is very important, and that is the fact that they are all victorious. And this is important because it will bring encouragement to all of us. Every child that is born in this glorious generation, it's victorious one way or the other. They are victorious over hopelessness. For example, in Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, when God said to Abraham that Sarah was going to have a son in 9 months, Sarah laughed because she thought the situation was hopeless. But the Almighty God, who could have said, "All right, because you laughed, I cancel what I have said," did not change his mind. He said, "You can laugh as much as you like. Isaac will be born." All of you who consider your situation hopeless, I have good news for you today. In the name that's above every other name, your Isaac will be born. In Genesis 37, verse 1 to 10, Genesis 37, verse 1 to 10, the Bible tells us that the Almighty God caused dry bones to live again. It wasn't just dead bodies, it was dry bones. And the Bible said they were very dry. And yet the Almighty God caused his servant to prophesy, and the dry bones came back to life. The God who can make dry bones live again can take care of your situation. Because even if they say your womb is already dried, at least it's not yet dead. And even if they say it is dead, there is someone who has the power of the resurrection. And that power is going to work for you tonight in Jesus' name. The children of this glorious generation are children who overcame doubt. When their parents doubted, God gave them victory over the doubt. I mean, when the man of God spoke in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings 4, verse 8 to 17, to the Shunammite woman, I said, you're going to have a son. The woman said, man of God, don't deceive me. It's too late. But the Almighty God said, well, whether you doubted me or not, I will do what I see we do. Yes, the Bible says, no doubt about it, we are not belittling the part of faith. Well, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Four times God repeated himself in the Bible. The just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. Four times. But the same God said in Isaiah 43 verse 13, Isaiah 43 verse 13, he said, I will walk who will let. In other words, I will walk who will hinder me. And Almighty God says, when I've made up my mind to walk, when I've decided to do something, who are you to stop me? Every force that may be whispering to you now, saying that you are not going to have your own children, the Lord will silence them tonight. The Bible says clearly in Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, he said, let the whole earth fear before the Lord, because he speak and it is done. If God speaks, it doesn't matter who is doubting, the word of the Lord shall come to pass. In Psalm 33, verse 11, Psalm 33, verse 11, the Bible said, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. I remember the testimony of one of my sons. He came with his wife, said, Daddy, please pray for us. We are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. That was several years ago. So I said, okay, what do you want the sex of the child to be? You want a boy or a girl? And he looked at me, I asked you to pray, you have not even prayed. I said, what sex do you want? Well, he said, okay, a boy. All right then, get ready for a boy. When he was sharing his testimony, he said he left disappointed. Because he thought we will pray, we will shake, we will jump up and down a little bit before. I prophesy to someone here tonight, in the name that's above every other name, whatever sex you want, boy or girl, or a set of twins, even if you want a triplet, receive now in Jesus' name. Children in the glorious generation are victors over doubt. They are also victors over mockers. In Genesis 21 verse 1 to 6, Genesis 21 verse 1 to 6, Sarah told us that there must have been some people mocking her. Who would have thought that Sarah would ever bear a child? That's why he called the name of the child Laughter. There are many of us who are here who have been mocked in the past. But Psalm 115 verse 1 to 3, Psalm 115 verse 1 to 3 tells us clearly that there might be people who will say, where is your God? But then God will tell them, I am in heaven and I do as I please. Everyone who have been asking, where is your God? Before 1 year from this moment, they will gather to celebrate with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. The Lord said, there is a woman here. He said, the man who have been molesting you in your dream will never return. Thank you, Father. And Daddy says, there is a man here tonight. He asked me to tell you, your potency shall be fully restored. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, by this time next year, you will already be in the club of the fruitful. Glorious generation. A generation of victors. Victorious over enemies known and unknown. Many a times when people find themselves in this kind of situation that they have to wait a long time before fruitfulness, it is usually because of an enemy. Could be an enemy within, could be an enemy without. I mean, there could be an enemy within cooperating with an enemy without, as we find in the case of Samson in Judges 15, from verse 11 to 14. Judges 15, from verse 11 to 14, it is the relatives of Samson that handed him over to the Philistines before the Almighty God moved in. I've told you several stories before. I've told you the story of a woman, for the sake of those of you who are new, just to encourage you to know that it doesn't even matter if the enemy is within. God will take care of that also. If it's the enemy from without, God will take care of that also. So some of you will remember the story of a woman. Got married and she was happy. And then one day the mother-in-law came from the market with a loaf of bread and gave it to the young wife and said, eat this and use it to block your womb. And the lady said, what kind of joke is this? But innocently, she took the bread and ate. And from that day onwards, she ceased to menstruate. Until one day, the Almighty God decided to send us to a particular town to hold a program. And she heard that we were coming, so she began to fast. That at least that particular program will bring an end to her problem. The day we were to arrive, we have not even arrived. She had a dream. She slept in the afternoon and had a dream. And in the dream, she saw some people dressed like doctors. They came in, they laid her on the table, operated her, opened up her belly, and began to pull out a rope. She saw them pulling out the rope. And at the end of the rope, there was something like a loaf of bread. Black. And they put that thing with the rope in a basin, sewed her back, and left. And then she woke up. When she woke up, of course, if you wake up from that kind of dream, you'll be trembling. She woke up trembling, but then she noticed that the bed was wet with blood, that she was menstruating again. Whatever the enemy has planted in you that is causing your delay shall be uprooted tonight in Jesus' name. I'm sure you know the rest of the story. Soon after, she became pregnant. The last time I heard from her, if I remember correctly, she already had 5 children. Whatever the enemy has stolen from you shall be fully restored tonight in Jesus' name. But now let me spend some time talking to the parents, of the glorious generation. They too have certain characteristics that we need to mention. For example, take Abraham, the father of Isaac, Genesis chapter 15, verse 3 to 6. Thank you, Father. Let me say amen to this one before I tell you. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, a bright light is going to shine into your home this month. Amen. I think this is my own section of the service. Amen and amen. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, from now on, the word excellent will be frequently used to describe you and yours. Thank you, Daddy. Amen and amen and amen.
Lord.
The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, before the end of this year, you will sing glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, praise the Lord, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, praise the Lord. If you are the one, let me hear you sing it again. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, praise the Lord, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, praise the Lord. That is settled in Jesus' name. Genesis 15, verse 3 to 6, tells us that when God told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, he believed God. The father of the one who is going to be part of the glorious generation must be a man of faith. What about the wife? Who is going to produce this child that will be in the glorious generation? Genesis 17, verse 12. Genesis 18, verse 12. The Bible shows us clearly that Sarah called Abraham my Lord. Submissive wife, a wife who honored her husband to the extent that she called him my Lord. Still reading the same Genesis 18, from verse 1 to 14, the brother who took the offering this evening mentioned something along this line. Those who will be parents of a glorious generation must be feeders of God, those who feed God. Now you may think that that means those who give offerings, like the preacher before me said. That might be true. But it goes much deeper than that. When you read John chapter 4, verse 34, John 4, verse 34,
Jesus Christ said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What food can you give to God? God is not interested in pounded yam. He's not interested in rice or any other food. The meat that God wants from you is to win souls, to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work, to win the world through him. That's the meat he wants. Anyone who is going to be a parent of a glorious generation must be a soul winner. Take my word for it. And so if you really mean business and you want to be part of the people who will produce this glorious generation from this moment onward, you will take soul winning seriously. Take it as a matter of life and death, because it is a matter of life and death. What are the characteristics of those who will bring forth this glorious generation? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The Bible tells us clearly that Elkanah, the father of Samuel, was a worshiper of God, a committed worshiper of God. The father of one of these children who will come in this glorious generation must be a worshiper of God, committed worshiper of God. I've observed many times that when it comes to worshiping God, women are in the forefront. May the Almighty God bless the women. You can watch us on the altar here. When the music is going on and things are wonderfully going on, you see the women getting up to dance. Maybe the men think that because I'm not standing to dance, that's a sign to them that they should sit down. They are making a mistake, because the reason I remain seated is because I know I'm going to stand for a long time. And many a times, whether you believe it or not, many a times when I have to come and preach because of several days of fasting, traveling from my seat to the altar here takes a lot of strength, a lot of energy. It is only that as soon as I get here, power comes. So, glory be to God. And so I sit down there, reserving the little energy that I have left, so that I have enough energy to walk from there to here. I know once I get here, the rest is settled. And I see that many a times when the women are dancing and worshiping God, remember what God said just now. He said he was pleased with what the choir did tonight. I'm sure he was also pleased with those who joined them in worshiping him. That one is clear. So I want to encourage you, brothers, from now, don't let the women beat us. Let's beat them. We can dance, can't we? Let the men shout hallelujah. Elkanah was a committed worshiper of God. Don't forget, God says he is seeking for worshipers. He said God is a spirit, they that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Don't tell me that, we are men, we are big, so big men should dance gently. Why don't you ask David? He was king. He danced until his belly came out of his garment. And that's why the Almighty God said, David, I promise you, there will always be somebody in your family on the throne, just because he praised the Almighty God. Men, let's begin to take worshiping God seriously. Who is going to be a parent of a child that will belong to the glorious generation? He must be a covenant keeper. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, 1 Samuel 1, 9 to 11, Hannah promised God. He said, give me a son and I will give him back to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24 to 28, 1 Samuel 1, 24 to 28, she fulfilled her vow. Those who will produce children that will belong to the glorious generation must be pure. They must be holy. They must be blameless. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. Luke 1, verse 5 to 6. The Bible tells us concerning Zechariah and Elizabeth. He said, in all things, they were blameless. I've said it before, and I keep on repeating it. If you want a miracle, and you still don't want to live holy, then what you want is not a miracle. What you need is magic. Go to the devil. The devil can give you magic. But if you want a miracle from a holy God, you must be prepared to live holy. It is possible to be barren academically. It is possible to be fruitful academically. You can be fruitful in several areas of your life, but you require holiness. And I'm praying for everybody tonight. When it is time to pray and we are crying to God, God, make me fruitful. Don't think that that prayer applies only to those who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. There are areas of your life too where you can be fruitful. And I'm praying to God that this night will be the beginning of fruitfulness for all of us in Jesus' name.
Please join us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.